questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you on the Community Radio Network around Australia from the studios of Fine Music 102.5. Dads on the Air, this is the program bringing you interesting conversations on issues affecting dads, men and boys. I'm Bill Cable and our guest today is Dr. Robert Kennedy, who is the Associate Professor, Department of Sociology at York University, all the way over there in Toronto, Canada. Dr. Kennedy is on the advisory board of the New Male Studies Journal and he's currently doing research on fathers, shared parenting and related issues. He's been working in this area for about 25 years, mainly in Canada, and he's been doing interviews and completed interviews in the UK, the US, parts of Europe, and most recently Australia and New Zealand. Robert, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Bill. I'm glad to be on the air with you.
Yes, and I appreciate you being on the air with us because I know it's a cold night over there in Toronto.
Yes, it's minus 15, and we're right in the middle of winter.
Now, Robert, you've identified in your interviews around the world a problem in this family law system. You've described it as being broken. Can you tell us what you see as the urgency for doing something about the current system?
Well, it's broken because children don't really seem to be the focus, even though a lot of people talk about the best interests of the children, they don't seem to be met, children seem to be the casualties. The legal system is broken because it encourages an adversarial approach to spouses that are breaking up, parents of children, and it almost encourages them to be rancorous and fight it out instead of just continuing parenting and focus on the children and really have the best interests of the children at heart. So, and I think this is, this adversarial approach really has created a disjuncture in terms of, where there's a broken system. And it seems to be the case, even though it's getting better in the UK, it's just on the mend now. In Canada, in most jurisdictions, in most provinces, it's broken. In many states, it's broken. And it's the same issue whether I interview somebody in California or Canada, in Toronto, Vancouver, New Zealand, whether I'm in Wellington, Dunedin, or Sydney. I hear the same problems, and it usually is it's the fathers that get left out. So this is another reason it's broken, because the fathers are considered to be disposable parents. They're considered to be financial contributors, where I think, the systems are not functioning well. In fact, I would say in most cases they're quite dysfunctional.
Yes, you mentioned then the best interest of the child, and that seems to be where it often breaks down, is because it begs the question, what is in the best interest of the child? And people often turn to shared parenting, but I think you want to move away from that idea of shared parenting to something new?
Well, it focuses too much on the parents, where I find that I like the idea of shared parenting because at least it focuses, to some extent on some version of parenting. But the way things have gone, it seems to be more about the parents than the best interests of the children. And this is why I would advocate continued parenting. In other words, seamlessly going from what you had before the marriage or relationship broke up to, the parents who are not together have to do. In other words, you don't divorce or separate from your children, really, the way it should work. You should be separating or divorcing from your spouse, and that should not include your children. I mean, it should be seamless in that way. In other words, the parent-children relationship should be continued. And the problem is the focus, even with with the idea of continued parenting, may not be on the children, which is a problem, but it should be. And that's why I like the idea of continued parenting. And with shared, Sometimes, you know, we start getting into equations like, well, are they shared 50-50? Or we start getting into the equal part, which again becomes, you know, more scientific than really focusing on what children need, which really is their parents. So I would like to see, you know, a move away also from the family law system. And if the best interests of the children are going to be served well, it's going to be outside the legal system. In other words, let the parents work it out. Encourage them as much as possible. And various jurisdictions have, you know, parenting plans, for instance, and have, you know, mediation services or psychological services to help parents work it out so that they don't end up fighting with each other and, you know, having to do the tug of war of sharing or equal parenting, when it just should be continued. So whatever you had before, you continue with, and you focus on the children, not each other. The relationship is finished between the parents. Now what is left is the relationship with the children, and that's what continued parenting is about.
Yes, and there is an emphasis in what you're proposing on both parents being involved, because I believe with the trend towards professional mothers getting a decent income, they are now sometimes being put in the position that's traditional for the fathers, where they're the breadwinner and they don't necessarily have contact with their children.
Well, this is another good reason to have continued parenting. And that sometimes is the case during the marriage, where both parents are working, the mother and the father, and they're trying to, you know, basically work out, you know, the parenting arrangement during the intact family and the marital situation. So why not just carry that on, you know, in terms of this tag teaming? And the key is, you know, and why I say the system is broken, because fathers are often left out of the equation, you know, and left out of the thinking in terms of shared parenting. So really, if more and more women, and this is the trend, are becoming the breadwinners, or they're basically contributing on a balanced basis, and even with parenting, and they may be absent from home as a result of, you know, trips for work and other related things, then in my mind, why not, you know, have the father as being prominent after the separation and divorce? Because it almost seems as though after the separation and divorce, that's when father disappears. Before, in that, you know, let's say intact family, the father is, you know, basically a partner, as a parent, not just a breadwinner, you know. And if the mother and father are both professionals, then, you know, what is happening before should continue seamlessly. So, you know, and the problem is, automatically it seems, well, now I don't need you as father. The legal system seems to go along with that. It seems whatever the mother wants, the mother seems to get in many cases. And that seems to be, in certain cases, or many more than certain cases, the elimination of the father. And that's why it needs to be seamless and continued, because children want to have both parents in their lives. Now, there are exceptions. The exceptions would be, plain and simply, if there are abusive parents. And when I say abusive, violent, I mean criminally convicted. And I mean there's evidence based for this, not just allegations. And if a parent is abusive and there are, you know, proper convictions based on evidence, then, you know, that's a different story. But if these are caring parents and there's no proven allegations, in other words, they are just very concerned about their children, then it should continue seamlessly.
Yes, and we're speaking with Professor Dr. Robert Kennedy from the Department of Sociology at York University in Toronto, Canada, about a new concept called continued parenting. Robert, we might take a short break here. I know you've asked if we could play this song. It's a song by a friend of yours, a colleague of yours in Australia. It's a song by Warwick Marsh, and it's called Daddy Doesn't Live Here Anymore.
Don't come knocking on my front door.
Daddy doesn't live here anymore.
And welcome back. Robert, that song by Warwick Marsh, Daddy Doesn't Live Here Anymore, I believe you had a bit to do with Warwick when you were in Australia recently.
Yes, definitely. Warwick had a very large impact in terms of my thinking about continued parenting. In other words, this is something I started working on about 25 years ago, but it's interesting that the Australians are farther ahead and Warwick's progressive thinking, along with Bill, yours and Catherine's thinking about children and all these issues, has really encouraged me to go back to this notion of continued parenting. So, and even having the roundtable in Canberra, again, has encouraged me due to the fact that Australia, in my mind, is probably the most progressive country in terms of thinking about these things. And I do credit Warwick, you know, for bringing it to the fore, along with the whole movement in Australia. So the song is quite apropos.
And yes, going back to the dysfunctional system that is you've witnessed in various parts of the world, it is a serious problem, isn't it? When the parent, usually the father, isn't around, it does have effects on the children.
Very negative effects. I mean, studies are showing more and more that the effects could, you know, have an influence on children continuing in terms of education and going on to post-secondary education. You know, whether they're going to be really around the right kind of peer influences and involved in various types of substance abuse. Having both parents there really does add to the stability, especially having a father balanced off with the mother. I think it's absolutely essential. And one of the ways the system just doesn't seem to work is there doesn't seem to be a recognition of the importance of the father. And really not just for the boys, which is extremely important, but also for the girls. Having that, you know, male role model in terms of this is, you know, the stable person in my life, so they do choose a spouse that really they can emulate in a positive way, so they get to know, you know, who their father is. So as I said, with the girls, this is very important in terms of maybe choosing a spouse. But also with the boys, I mean, having a father as a role model, guiding them through, you know, really what seems to be a minefield of masculinity in terms of what they're supposed to do and not supposed to do, and giving them that kind of confidence that having both parents there, and I mean, it has to be both the mother and the father in terms of having these strong role models there. So really, why would you want to take something away from a child when they really need it? And when the parents do break up, it is a serious problem because not only do the children really end up at a huge disadvantage without having both parents and not having a seamless continued parenting, but also, I mean, the problem is the parents don't realize what the legal system is like, and the family law system can take them for a loop. And of course, the children get taken down that road too. It's almost like, you know, the rabbit hole in Alice in Wonderland, and very little is expected. So you need both parents in their lives, and you need to make sure that the stability is there. Otherwise, we're going to have a broken generation. I mean, one of the reports that came out of Britain was Broken Britain. And it was written by an MP, I can't remember his name now, in Britain. And it really showed that this fatherless society that was rising in Britain it was really quite unhealthy. And he linked it to juvenile delinquency, increased drug use, teen pregnancy, and really all those things that good, stable parents will help children avoid. And become, you know, better citizens and more integrated into society.
Yes, and I believe there are issues for the state as well in when you get involved in child support. And I think in one state in America, it became so serious that they virtually directed there be a change in the system, didn't they?
No, definitely. I mean, these family support offices and responsibility offices usually slow down the transfer of money, and sometimes the money gets lost. Often, you know, when spouses are giving each other the money. It's much quicker. And usually when government gets involved, they seem to make a bigger mess of things. I mean, that's what I hear in the interviews in terms of family support, and sometimes even the judges not understanding, you know, family values and you know, what's necessary for a child to be successful. But, you know, this is an ongoing issue and has been ongoing for years. And they're not able to often collect. You know, I mean, one of the roles of these FRO offices, family responsibility offices, is really to collect from people that don't pay. And I mean, the compounding problem, it goes back to what you mentioned, is that there are many women who make sometimes more money, you know, than the fathers. And these mothers are often, you know, not asked to pay any child support. But even from the ones they call deadbeat dads, which are many, in many cases, dead broke, I mean, they can't collect from them. And then they're not even able to collect from those parents who actually, and I emphasize parents, those parents who are really, you know, not wanting to pay and are capable of paying. And this includes women at times. So in my mind, from what I'm hearing in the interviews, these offices are just impediments and make, you know, the family situation after separation and divorce much worse.
Yeah, so we really need to do something about this. And Robert, I wonder if you could just briefly take us through how it would work under a continued parenting program. And if parents decide they can't live together anymore, what's the next step from there?
Well, they really need to be guided along by people that have been through this before. Unfortunately, with the separation and divorce rates, I mean, we don't even know about the separation rates. We don't follow those as closely. But the divorce rates in various countries, you know, bounce between 30% and 50%. And sometimes that will depend on occupation from the regions, you know, and so on. But there are enough people that have been through it and would probably like to see many more not going through it in terms of going through the family law system. The way I see things, I mean, really, there are mentors, coaches out there, people that, in other words, they've been through it already, they know how to deal with it, and they've often successfully, you know, have negotiated a decent agreement for some sort of parenting arrangement. I would argue it should be seamless, continued parenting, but keeping them away from the family law system, keeping them away from adversarial practitioners. There are good lawyers out there, many good lawyers, but they're often hard to find. Really, what you would need, if you could work it out with somebody guiding you, mentoring you, coaching you, is get an agreement and then go to a solicitor to basically get the paperwork done so it's a clear-cut agreement. But stay out of the family law system. Focus on your children. Focus on saving the money so you don't end up in a rancorous fight. I mean, the problem is there are spouses that do not want to work things out. And this is one of the issues. You know, they'll drag you through the court system thinking it's going to be more successful. And all they do is sometimes they bankrupt themselves. They definitely bankrupt often the fathers in this case. And really, I mean, it's a matter of staying out of the broken system and mentoring and coaching people. Now, this is not the easiest thing to do or set up, but in my mind, I mean, the state could save an enormous amount of money by not having people go through the family law system. And a lot of the time, you know, I mean, there are many programs around the world that do try to divert people out of the family law system. But, you know, there are still people that want to go through it, thinking that it's going to be better, and it makes things worse. So it's a matter of getting people out of it, coaching them and mentoring them through, almost like the 12-step programs, you know, where you have a sponsor, somebody that's voluntarily helping you out and being there, not charging you anything for it.
Look, we're unfortunately running out of time today. I asked you if you'd perhaps pick a song for us to go out on, and perhaps you could just tell us what that is and quickly why you chose it.
Well, I mean, and I think the timing of everything works perfectly because Dave's been confused by Led Zeppelin is really how people feel when they go through separation and divorce. They're already feeling disoriented, and then when they hit the family law system, it's even worse because they're like deer in headlights. You know, they don't know what's coming at them. They think that it should just be shared versions of parenting, you know, hopefully some kind of continued parenting, and they don't realize it's adversarial and you know, often it's the mother that decides what's going to happen. It could be the mother that may be making false allegations, so they're definitely dazed and confused.
Well, it's a great choice, so let's rock. This is Dazed and Confused by Led Zeppelin.
Not true. Wanted a woman, never bargained for you. Lots of people talking, few of them know. Soul of a woman was created below.
And that's another program for Dads on the Air. We look forward to your company again next week when we'll have another interesting guest. If you want to listen to this program again or go to any of our programs, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au. And in the meantime, that's goodbye from Dad's on the Air. We thank particularly our special guest today, Dr. Robert Kennedy, Associate Professor, Department of Sociology at York University in Toronto, Canada.